I want to offer you a Christmas blessing today. And I want to do so from a text that is not a traditional Christmas text, though it does point to Jesus' incarnation, the second person of the Trinity being born as a human being. This text is made up of two little verses tucked away in the middle of the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 11, verses 27 and 28. As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Lord Jesus, as we come to these words today, may they truly bring blessing on all who hear them. Because life is too short and eternity is too long for us to drink from broken cisterns, broken fountains. It is too short for us to seek help from the gods of this world that can never satisfy. We look to you and you alone for peace. We look to only you for meaning. And we look to you for what it means to be completely human. We think on your birth today, not because of its sentimental value, but because by being born, you became fully human. And by becoming fully human, you meant that you could and would save us from our sin. All praise be to you. Amen. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus is traveling and he's passing through the land of Palestine and he's teaching and he is doing miracles, he is healing people. And especially, he is delivering people from demons. Earlier in the chapter, he has even been accused by the religious leaders of casting out demons by using the power of Satan. Which leads Jesus to then tell a parable to prove that that's not possible. And to teach us that there is no such thing as neutrality when we come to him. Neutral means you're not for somebody and you're not against them. And quite frankly, that's the way a lot of people live their lives. They're okay with Jesus. They're okay with God. They might not worship. They might not pray to him. They might not even think he's God. They know he's an important person. They think he was a good person. He was a revolutionary. Maybe they even know he taught people to love other people. And they don't hate Jesus. They're not over here. They're not Jesus haters, but they're not really for him. There's just some kind of a neutral ground. And Jesus tells a parable to make sure that everybody understands that even if we think there is neutral ground, he says there is no neutral ground. And the key to this is summed up in verse 23 of Luke 11. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. So Jesus doesn't allow the neutral ground. But as he's teaching, a woman in the crowd raised her voice. She's in the crowd. She's watching Jesus do these things. She's hearing him teach. For all we know, she might have been someone who was either healed by Jesus or related to somebody who was healed by Jesus or delivered from a demon by Jesus. But she raises her voice. So she cups her hands and she yells. Now, this wasn't super common, not because women were restricted to silence in public. We see plenty of examples, even in the Bible, where they're not. But usually, in a public place like this, it would have been the men and probably the leaders of that town or the religious leaders themselves from Jerusalem who would have verbally addressed Jesus and called out of the crowd. What she says, though, is something that I think only a woman would say. I can't imagine a man calling this out, can you? So she is seeing Jesus' words and his ministry, what he's doing, through the eyes of a mother. Parents receive honor through the character and the accomplishments of their children. That's true in many ways for us. It was far more true in this culture that parents would receive honor and praise from their neighbors and other people in their town or city because of the character and accomplishments of their children. And the essence of what she says is this: what a privilege it is to have been your mother. What an awesome, glorious role to play. How joyful it must have been to have given you life and nurtured you. What an enviable place to be in. Look at what you're doing. God's hand is certainly on you. At least she probably thought he was a prophet. There's no reason to think that this woman understands that he is the Son of God, that he is deity. But she sees him working the miracles. She sees the authority that he exercises over the spiritual realm, casting out demons. And she knows that he's, at least in some way, from God, at the very least, a prophet. And so what honor for someone to have given you birth, this woman, and to have nurtured you and nursed you. What an enviable place to be in. What a blessing. This shows her great admiration for Jesus because she recognizes this authority and this wisdom in his words, and she means to honor him. Watch. She means to honor Jesus by highlighting Mary's privilege in being his mother. Do we do this? I think we do this even at Christmas. How many Christmas songs do you know that are sung from the perspective of Mary? A good number of them. In fact, they probably represent the only category like that that we sing and know very well. Singing songs from the perspective of Mary. Mary, did you know? Breath of heaven. And there's a little sappiness in some of those, okay? But there's something about Mary's perspective. And Luke, in his gospel, in chapters 1 and 2, gives us Mary's perspective. She is overawed. A number of times in the early parts of the gospel, Luke says, and Mary kept these things up in her heart, treasured these things in her heart, meaning that she became really pensive, trying to understand, was overwhelmed with the reality. So is this true then, as this woman calls this out of the crowd? Is this true? Was it for Mary a privilege to give birth to the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God? Well, Luke chapter 1, verses 28 through 30, the angel Gabriel says, "Greetings, O favored one," when he visits Mary to tell her that she's going to give birth to the promised Messiah. "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." And then he says, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Later on in Luke chapter 1, verse 42, Mary, having been told that she's going to give birth to Jesus, goes and visits her aunt, Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is pregnant with Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist. Elizabeth greets her with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women." That's a prophetic statement. Blessed are you among women. Then in Luke chapter 1, verse 46 and following, which we know as the Magnificat, Mary's song of praise to God, Mary herself recognizes this as God's blessing. And she says, "All generations will call me blessed." But the blessing and the privilege of bearing Jesus to Mary was not in making much of herself. The blessing to her was that God would choose her to make much of himself. That's why she is overwhelmed. Now, if this is the case, if it was a blessing and a privilege then to have born and nursed Jesus, which all of these verses would point to, then how much more stunning is Jesus' response to this woman? But he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Now notice, Jesus both affirms what the woman says and he corrects it at the same time. When he says rather, Jesus means indeed. Yes, that's true. However, indeed, but nevertheless, so Jesus recognizes that what was spoken by the angel, what was prophetically announced by Elizabeth, and what was then felt and declared by his own mother, Mary, he sees those things as valid. It was a special privilege for Mary. So what the woman says is true. However, rather, it was woefully insufficient to capture the real meaning of his coming, why he was born. And so Jesus corrects her with a blessing from his own mouth. And who does Jesus say are blessed? In other words, who does Jesus say is in a glorious, awesome, privileged place? Who lives in an enviable place in life? Those who hear the word of God and keep it. To hear the word of God means to receive it, to accept it. You might say to hear the word of God, Jesus means to listen to it. Not just audibly catch it as it goes by on the radio, but to really give attention to it. Those who hear the word of God and keep the word of God. This is a word that means to guard. It was used of prisons. It was used of prison guards. And so the word to keep here can mean to keep from escaping, to keep captive. It can also mean guard in the sense of protect. The Apostle Paul uses this word in Philippians chapter 4 when he says, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard, will keep. That's the same word, your hearts and minds. Sometimes in here, it's guard, keep, protect, as in to treasure something. So keep here means guard by obeying it. It's those who hear the word of God and then act on it, who keep it, who guard it, who keep it at the center of their lives. Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. So let me ask you, do you hear the word of God in the Christmas holiday? Are you listening? We can watch all the romantic Hallmark movies that we can tolerate. Okay. We can set up nativity scenes. We can sing Christmas carols. We can go to a Christmas service and still not hear the word of God. Not because it isn't spoken, not because it isn't sung, but because we fail to accept it. We fail to listen and understand that it is a message and a call to each of us. Hearing the word of God means not doting over the cute baby in the manger, warm and fuzzy. It really doesn't even mean being together with family and friends, as wonderful as that is. I believe God is pleased by that in the holidays. But that's not the purpose. It means receiving who that baby was, the Savior, the King. So do you hear the word of God in the Christmas holiday? Do you keep the word of God? Do you treasure it by obeying it? Keeping the word of God means submitting your life to the Savior and King. Why does Jesus respond this way to the woman? That's really the question, isn't it? Why does he respond this way? He responds this way, first of all, because having a spiritual connection to Jesus by faith in him is of infinitely more value than even being his own mother. Someone who believes and trusts in Jesus is closer to him in a more blessed, privileged place in all of history and all the human race than even his own mother. Now, Mary followed Jesus, but not because she was his mother, because she believed in him just like everybody else. Being his mother didn't exclude her from trusting him and following him. But she didn't come to know Jesus as Savior and King because she was his mother. Faith transcends blood ties. As a matter of fact, remember the context, verse 23, whoever is not with me is against me. Even being Jesus' mother didn't necessarily qualify her as someone who hears and keeps the word of God. Even being Jesus' mother didn't mean she was for him, no matter how privileged she was to bear him and nurse him. Secondly, I think Jesus makes this point. He says it because he does not care about people's admiration of him. Jesus does not care if you admire him. He cares about obedient response to his word. That defines who his true followers are. That defines who worships him. And it determines who is in a place of blessing. Those who hear and keep the word of God. You see, we regard Jesus at Christmas especially the same way this woman regards him here. Great admiration. We feel sentimental at times. Oh, he's a baby. We focus on the glitter and we focus on the magic of the moment. And we forget that we can admire Jesus as much as we want to. We can think as highly of Jesus as we want. But if we do not give our lives to him, he's not impressed. How can we keep and hear and keep the word of God? It's an important question because it's the way to know blessing. Let me suggest two ways to you this morning. Number one, embrace Golgotha with Bethlehem. What is special about Bethlehem? It's the place where King David was born and grew up. And it was the place that David's son, capital S, his heir to the throne, would be born. Even the prophet Micah said this in Micah chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Thousands of years, hundreds of years before Jesus was born, the king would come out of Bethlehem. What is Golgotha? Golgotha was the hill on which Jesus was crucified. It was a nickname called the Hill of the Skull. We assume because the shape of the hill looked like a skull. But it was called Golgotha. You don't get Bethlehem without Golgotha. You don't get the cradle without the cross. If you want a Christmas package, that would be it. You have to take both. If you want to hear and keep the word of God at Christmas, you must embrace with faith that the baby who was born for the purpose of dying. And that death was in your place and mine. If you want to hear and keep the word of God, if you want to know blessing, this is the first way. You embrace Golgotha with Bethlehem. The second way is to receive God's offer of peace. That's what Jesus was God's declaration of peace toward humanity. Why? Because God had made war on the human race? Because the human race had declared war on God in rebellion to God's rightful place as the center of the universe and all of creation. We like to make whom the center? Ourselves. And in doing so, we have rebelled against God and we have deserved his judgment. But the very one who is in the place to judge the human race for its rebellion has made the offer of peace. And in sending Jesus, God was declaring peace. I will have peace if you will follow this king that I have sent. This is what the angels declared, wasn't it? Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill to men. That's what the angels were proclaiming. Peace. Not just a feeling of peace. Oh, I feel peaceful at Christmas. Everything's good. But peace, meaning no longer having to be an enemy of God. That ought to lead to peace, peaceful feelings. But when they were saying peace on earth, they weren't talking about a quiet, silent night. They were talking about, here's your opportunity in this babe to know peace with God, to make peace by believing in him, by hearing his words and keeping them. That was the offer of peace. To hear the word of God and to keep it begins here. It begins with embracing Jesus' death as well as his birth. And it means receiving God's offer of peace. That God would have peace with you. That he would have you be reconciled to him, no longer an enemy. And that is the place of true blessing. Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God